year. So it is from Romans chapter 1, and I shall be reading from verses 14 to 17, which is on page 1128 in the Bibles in front of you, or page 574 if you have an accessible Bible. That's Romans chapter 1, starting at verse 14. I am a debtor both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks to those leading us in worship today, and Rob for leading today. And I want to just say a big thank you to everyone who got stuck in at Christmas time. The numbers of volunteers really increased this Christmas. So thank you so much for serving across all our Christmas service. We had thousands of people came in and heard the gospel. We give praise to God for all those who are cleaning toilets and welcoming people and those on the street and sorting out cars. We just rejoice in the gospel-hearted nature of our church family, those pulling the tree down, putting the tree up. Thank you so much. Also going to say a massive thank you to Ian Barnard, who does our artwork every year, these great bits of scripture. Just give Ian a clap. He doesn't get much acknowledgement. Thank you. And we are so blessed, aren't we, as a church family, to have so much gift here that we are using to serve the Lord Jesus and worship Jesus together. What a joy. What a joy. Well, if you've not turned back into that passage, that'd be great if you could. It's page 1128, Romans 1, and I'm going to pray for us as we think about our verse for the year. Let's pray. Lord, we are amazed at your majesty and your glory. We're humble that you have sought us out and saved us. We come empty-handed, we have nothing to bring to the table, but you've done everything for us. And as a church family, we long this year to be set alive afresh by the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be those who are boldly living and proclaiming the gospel for our good and the blessing of salvation of many in this country and around the world. So speak by your Spirit, we pray, into our hearts, and just we pray that this will not be snatched away by the evil one. But it rests in our hearts and shape us this year as a church family, as a fellowship, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I wonder, have you ever felt ashamed or embarrassed to be associated with somebody? There was this hilarious sitcom in the 90s. I guess some of you weren't alive then, but I certainly was. And it made me laugh. It was called Keeping Up Appearances. Remember this lady? She's called Mrs. Bouquet, spelt Bucket. With all her airs and graces and her absolute embarrassment of her sister's husband, he was called Onslow. What an attractive man he was. And she was an absolute snob. She was totally ashamed of her family. Ashamed. I wonder, have you ever felt like that about your family? Or maybe a friend who doesn't quite fit in but loves to greet you loudly in front of everybody else and you think, just be quiet. I don't want people to know that I know you. We can easily all feel ashamed. And as Christians, if you're a believer today, we can be ashamed of belonging to Jesus. That's true, isn't it? We're all tempted, and at times we've given in to the shame of being associated with Jesus Christ. And Jesus knew we'd have that temptation. He warns us there'll be a real temptation. Mark 8:38, he speaks about us being ashamed of Jesus and his words and truth in the Bible. Ever felt like that? I have. Ever wished Jesus' words were more politically correct? I have. Ever wished that being a follower of Jesus would make you more acceptable as opposed to being a little unusual and outdated and deluded a religious nut? To be seen as a Bible-believing Christian today is seen by many as a step towards immorality. How can you believe what the Bible says? It's immoral now in our culture. That's the force. When I was at university many years ago now, the in crowd with the PE lads, and I just longed to belong to that crowd, but somehow doing drama in English didn't quite make you fit, particularly if you're a Christian. I just wanted to fit in and belong. I was ashamed at times to know Christ. It is easy to feel like that. It's easy to feel ashamed to be Christian and to fear that because I follow Jesus, I will never fully be accepted by my husband or wife, my family, my friends, my colleagues at work, those in my road, my social group. And of course, that longing to feel accepted is powerful. We know that it stops us from speaking about Jesus because we know that will make life a little easier. To live like others means we will just fit in. To live a challenge the prevailing culture means we will just fit in and have an easy life. And Jesus knew we'd all be tempted to that and be ashamed and want to just blend in. And of course, my friends, that is not the way to follow Christ, is it? Jesus wants us to shine like a city on a hill. He wants us to be distinct in the way that we love and the way that we live and speak and are bold about Jesus. In Mark 8, Jesus says these sobering words, "If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this sinful and adulterous generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." Now, how do Jesus' words make you feel this morning? I read that and I think, I don't want to be ashamed. I want to be proud of my Savior Jesus. I want to hold fast to Jesus this year. I want to lift Jesus up and exalt Jesus. And that's why our verse for the year is a great tonic and encouragement to boldness. God wants us bold in the way that he's made us as his people. Take a look. As Paul writes this amazing letter about the gospel to the Roman church. He says in chapter 1, verse 16, these words, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes." Three take-home encouragements from our verse for the year for us all as a church family. Firstly, will we this year in 2020 resolve to be proud and not ashamed of the gospel? Because that's a decision we make, isn't it? That we will say, "I am not ashamed of the gospel." We've seen that it's easy to be ashamed of Jesus and his words. The Bible and the Apostle Paul knows that it's a real temptation for Christians as well. Paul knew as a man he was frail and weak and prone to shame and silence. You see, the cross does seem so weak and pathetic, doesn't it? How can a man dying on a cross do anything? Surely it's a picture of absolute failure, isn't it? Embarrassment when your leader is hoiked off and treated like a criminal and left on a cross to die. He's mocked and ridiculed. As Paul writes to the Corinthians, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing." He says in verse 23 of chapter 1, "It is a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles." That's in Corinthians. Paul knows how many in his day thought of the gospel message, and yet he resolved to preach the gospel and to share the gospel. And we might say, well, that's just Paul, isn't it? That mighty man who was fearless. You know how I feel on the inside, Steve. I could never say a thing. I feel so weak. I get so scared and tongue-tied. Well, you're in good company. Paul shares how he feels in 1 Corinthians. He says, "I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words." But what did Paul resolve to do? He was going to be faithful to Jesus and not be ashamed of the gospel and preach the gospel, because you know that by the Spirit of God, he would preach with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Not Paul the man, the Spirit's power. And in spite of his fear, his sense of weakness, he was obedient, and the Spirit came in and empowered him to speak and witness to the gospel he was not ashamed of. Don't we all need that? in our weakness, in our fear. We need the Spirit enabling to speak. Do you ever pray for that? That's what happened to the early church in Acts. We saw the Spirit came and he made them bold to witness. See, our fear of man and the shame of the gospel shuts us up. But actually, our verse of the year wants to say to us, resolve to be proud and not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Pray, Lord, I confess that at times I am ashamed. I'm scared. I care about my reputation. But help me, Lord, by your Spirit, to be more concerned about your name, your glory, the salvation of others, and the glory of Jesus, the one sent to be the Savior of the world, that you sent into the world to die and rise again. Lord, help me by your Spirit to be proud and not ashamed of my Savior and your ways and your truth. Do you see why there is no need for us to be ashamed in this verse? Well, Paul goes on to say, it's because the gospel is powerful. So secondly, will we as a church family recognize the gospel's power? You see, Paul is dead eager to preach it wherever he can. He says that in verse 15. He's eager to preach the gospel to them in Rome. He's itching to get there to preach the gospel when he gets there. Why? Because it's the power of God to save people from hell to heaven, from not knowing God to knowing God, from a state of guilt and shame to forgiveness and mercy and grace and new life. He knows it's powerful. It brings real change. Just think about Paul's story. It's an amazing story, isn't it? Think of his story. He was a religious guy, and with great zeal, he tried to stamp the Church of Christ out. Do you remember that? He presided over the murder of the first martyr, Stephen. He persecuted the people of God. His name and his reputation sent shivers into the spine of the early church. He hated Christ and wanted to stamp him out. And yet we know on the Damascus Road, the Lord Jesus turned Paul's life around. That is power, isn't it? From persecutor to proclaimer, from causing suffering to others to believing in the gospel and suffering himself for the gospel, to proclaiming the gospel message of Christ, the message that we are sinners and we need a Savior, and without Christ we are lost in our sins and we face death and judgment. But God's solution is the coming of Jesus, the God-man who lives and he dies in our place, takes God's wrath on himself, and he rises again so sin is paid for. It is finished, Jesus says. Salvation is won. And Paul proclaimed the message of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen. He preached it because he knew it had power to change. He met the risen Jesus. You see, how is it, my friends, that enemies of God can be friends with God and at peace because of the power of the gospel? How can people who are sinners from birth come to know the holy God? Because of the power of the gospel. How is it that I, who have rejected the Father like a prodigal son, can be adopted into the family of God forever and ever? It is because of the power of the gospel. How can I live my life for something that is eternal and has purpose and comfort and power? It's because of the power of the gospel. How can I come from having a small nuclear family to being part of a worldwide body of believers all over the world, brothers and sisters? How does that happen? Because of the power of the gospel. The gospel is powerful. It's changed Paul's life. It's changed my life. It's changed many of our lives. I see it changing people's lives today in this town. I see his power at work in your hearts and lives as you serve and love Jesus. It really does work. It really works because it's true. Because it is the power of God for the salvation of all who will believe. It makes what is impossible for us, sinful people who could never earn our way to God or never be good enough to be welcomed into heaven and to know the Father and to be forgiven. It makes what is impossible for us possible through Jesus. Because God in his loving grace and mercy makes the way. You see, all the world religions do not lead to the living God. All religions of this world are all about climbing your way to God through rules and behavior to God. But they never can, for they are not the way that God has ordained. Only God can make the way through his powerful, costly, lavish, loving plan through the Saviour, Jesus. Jesus' life and death makes the only way for sinners to be counted as righteous. That's verse 17. In the gospel, there's power to make us righteous. As actually he gives us the gift of his righteousness, we trust in him. God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become in him the righteousness of God. That is the glory of the gospel, the way to God. It's all made powerfully possible by faith, verse 17 says. Whoever believes. I mean, who would have dreamed of that? Who would have made up that remarkable, gracious way that God has made for us to be saved? Through faith. Not in ourselves, but in someone else. And this morning, friends, if you've not taken that step, it's just a prayer away. That gift of life is yours by faith. Have you received it? Why not do that today? I'd love to pray with you afterwards. And so you can recognize with the body of believers here afresh that the gospel is the power of God that brings salvation. So, all saints, will you resolve not to be ashamed of the gospel, but be proud of it? Will you recognize afresh the power of the gospel? And will you, thirdly, remember it is for everyone? I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. You see, this church is not a club. It is a lifeboat full of rescued sinners who were lost, who have been saved and brought into the people of God. And it is a club. It is not a club. It is a boat for everyone. It is for all people, everyone. For everyone and anyone who believes. Whatever your ethnicity, whether you're Jew or Gentile, that covers everyone. Whatever your social standing, Paul talked about it in terms of slave or free. But whoever you are, whatever job you do, it's for you. Whatever your gender, male or female, the gospel is for you. People say, don't they, it's not for me. My family is Muslim and my family is Hindu. We're atheists, we're Buddhists. And we say, no, the gospel is for you. You need the salvation only Jesus can bring. God loves you and wants to save you. And people say, it's not for me, I'm not religious. And we say, neither are we. We're not religious, but we've just found light and life in the Lord Jesus. We found the Saviour. Come and find him with us. People say, I've done too much wrong. You don't know my past and what I've done. I can hardly accept myself, let alone think that God may accept me. And we say, no, the gospel is for you. It's good news for you. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The gospel is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone, anyone who believes. Do you know, I reckon we can all think of someone that we think would never believe. Maybe at work, in our street, in our club, in our family, our kids, our husband, our wife. And we think they would never want to know. They would never be Christian. And we say, no. We say, no, don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. Don't stop praying. Don't stop speaking and loving Jesus and loving them. Jesus is for everyone. This is good news for all and forever. And let's not just think of just Crowborough or where you work in London or Tunbridge Wells or Brighton. Don't just think of that. Think of the whole world. This is for everyone in the world, all the nations. Maybe this year, and I pray it is, God will put his finger on your life and say, give up your job and go. That could happen this year. It could happen this month. Are you open to that? The Spirit's leading to lead you somewhere else to share the gospel. I pray God will do that in this place. My dear church family, my friends here today, will we start this year and allow this verse to set the course for our hearts and convictions and actions and life as a local body of believers? Will we resolve not to be ashamed of the gospel? Will you recognize afresh the power of the gospel? Will you remember, friends, that it is for everyone? So what to do? What do we do now? What do we do? Well, here's four concrete things you might want to do. And in fact, I hope you do them. The first is this, on the back of your first of the year card, I hope you'll pop this into your Bibles. is a little space where I've already written five friends I'm praying for. I'd love you to, when you go home, to write down five friends you're going to pray for to be able to invite to church and tell about Jesus. This is particularly in the light of the fact we've got a mission coming in October. The mission is called Discover Life. It's on the back of your cards. On the last night, the writer of Christianity Explored, Life Explored, Rico Tice, is coming to preach. But we'll have other evangelists, other wonderful creative events that weekend to share the gospel. Please write down five names or any names of people you want to pray for, particularly with a mission in mind, that this year will be the year when they come to know Jesus. Let's pray. Prayer is powerful. So don't let this be an empty bit of paper left on the shelf. Use it to help us to pray. Second thing is Life Explored starts a week on Thursday. Maybe you are unsure about the faith and you want to get clearer on Jesus Christ. Why not come along to that course? Why not refresh your faith? Why not bring a friend? Starting week Thursday, loads of people found it really helpful to explore who Jesus is and to consider the faith. A great course, week Thursday. Mark's running it, quarter to 8 till 9 at Wetherspoons in Crowborough, starting on the 16th. Why not come? Why not bring a friend? Third thing, we've been reading as a staff team this great little book. It's great because it's brilliantly written, it's so easy to read, and it's so thin, you can read it in an hour. At the back of church, we've got an exit book. You just put a pound in the bucket. I know that many of us don't carry cash anymore. 9:15 were amazing. They all had cash. 10:45, less cash around. You can put an IOU in the book box and bring a pound next Sunday. But please take this. Have no fear. It's written by a brilliant guy called John Lennox, who argues the faith with the most brilliant people in the world. You should watch his interviews with Dawkins. They're amazing. And his conversations with him. But he's written so simply about the things he does to share the faith. And it's really simple. You might be thinking, how can I share my faith? It's so simple, practical, helpful. I've been using these techniques myself over the last few weeks. Brilliant book. £1, it's yours. It's a bargain. And you can have it for an IOU, okay? And we'll never know who it was with the IOU, but we're trusting you for generosity abounding on the book front. And finally, in our small groups this term, we're going to spend some time using this book called The Word One-to-One. And it's a great little booklet produced to help us to share the gospel with others, to read the Bible with others. And we're going to do that as small groups to encourage each other to maybe think of someone we could begin doing that with who's not yet a Christian. It's a great little book to help us. So this year really is a year of mission and evangelism, fueled by the Word of God and the mission of God. And my prayer is, friends, that this place will grow through conversion growth this year. And that we'll grow in boldness and confidence this year. And that we'll be able to say at the end of the year, I'll say, what is Romans 1:16? You say, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. And I've seen God doing it in my life and my friend's life. Praise God for the power of the gospel. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this great verse, the great challenge of a new year. We're so excited, Lord, about the mission in October. For the glory of the gospel that saved us, that we want others to be saved. Lord, make us prayerful, make us dependent, open our mouths, equip us, we pray. And may we all be able to say this year, we saw you at work in the lives of friends and family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Steve.